Does anybody remember the child's game Kerplunk? No? You do? Thank you. Kerplunk was this game where there was this clear plastic cylinder, probably like 4 inches across, maybe a foot high, maybe a little bit less. And it had down at the bottom a nice big hole. And the whole thing turned in this base that had different pockets in it. And drilled into the hole, drilled into the cylinder wall were hundreds of holes. And what you did in the beginning is you took these thin little plastic sticks, kind of like, you know, cookie sticks, and you put them through the cylinder in all different directions. And then you dumped a whole bunch of marbles in. Now the game was played by alternating turns going around the circle, and you would remove one of the plastic sticks. The idea was to not have the marbles fall when the hole was lined up to your little bin. So you'd go around and people would hold their breath and you'd pull a stick and, hey, marble's gonna fall. Sometimes a couple, sometimes none, but invariably at the end, somebody pulled it and they all fell. Kerplunk. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm playing kerplunk with the way that we have seemed to have gone in society, in politics, in the church, even sometimes in our own houses. We want to make a change. We want to make a difference. We want to do the right thing. And so we tweak, we control, we argue, we pull out a stick hoping that the marbles aren't going to fall. This past week I was watching a political commentator. I think very highly of him. But even sometimes with his arguments I'm like, yeah, but what about this other thing? Or did you think that through? It always seems like the more you pull, the more the chance that things are just going to collapse and fall. Now, there are those who would want to make it very simple, to see everything in black and white, to see every decision that needs to be made to fix things as simple. But I think most of us are more in the center, dare I say. And we know that we live in huge gray areas. We live in tension, where sometimes two seeming opposite truths can both be true at the same time, a paradox. What are we to do? We look at the world, the state it's in. We look at the church. We look at our homes. How can we move forward and fix things? I think this is what Jesus has in mind as he tells the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Or I think in the old King James, the wheat and the tares, right? The parable goes, of course, there is a field sown with wheat seed, but as the weeds become, as they grow, it's identified that not all the plants are good, right? Some are weeds, they need to be removed because they're threatening the harvest. And the servants want to go ahead and just start pulling out the plastic straws. They just want to start ripping up the weeds. But the wise owner cautions them not to. Be patient. When the harvest comes, that's when the work of sorting wheat from weed will truly begin. For if we yank on the weeds, we risk pulling up the wheat. We risk all the marbles falling at the same time. It's a weary place to be. We've grown tired, perhaps, of not knowing where to go, who to listen to, who to believe. And it is our very nature to want quick and easy fixes. I share with you from my own journey, wrestling with my own demons. We all have them. Being in therapy, I once said to the The counselor, you know, sometimes my issues, I wish they were like wild turkeys that I could just rouse from the undergrowth and have them come up in the sky and shoot them and get rid of them. Have it done with. Get rid of these things that bug me. And of course, the counsel came, that's not possible. Now, there are some things we can do, of course. But by and large, we can't get rid of our demons. The best we can do is learn to live with them. And not give them, as my counselor said, the keys to our car. Don't let them drive our life. Identify them. Remove their power by working towards what you really want and what is good and healthy. I think that's wise counsel for, again, where we find ourselves today. The parable clearly states, or at least Jesus' explanation of the parable, that the weak are not going to go away anytime soon. We're stuck with it. And again, it's a weary and an uncomfortable place to be. Not knowing between one plant and the other. Jesus cautions us, invites us to play the long game, to be patient, to endure, to do what needs to be done day in and day out. Now, this doesn't mean that anything goes, right? There are some things that are so egregious, they need to be addressed immediately. I was going down the highway the other day, and there was a car in the right-hand lane going pretty slow, and as I approached, started to come into my lane a little bit, and thankfully went back, and as I passed him, I looked, and there he is on his phone. I think we can agree that's evil. That needs to stop. Seriously, though, Jesus was pretty clear on some things as well. Namely, that the Roman oppression of Palestine was wrong. That oppression is oppression. There might be the peace of Rome, but who is it peaceful for? The haves. Definitely not the have-nots. So what do we do? We wonder, how do we proceed? How might we fix things? There are tensions. There's gray area. And Lutheran theology is pretty good with that, sitting in the tensions. Luther wrote a lot of things about what it means to live in the tension. And he offered things that, again, are paradoxes. You know, we are at the same time saint and sinner, for instance. Luther wrote a lot about how the Word of God is at the same time law and gospel. There's a tension there. And outside of that, the wider theology of the Christian church, we say things like, Jesus was fully human. Jesus was fully God. We can't rectify those two truths, for if we do, we miss the whole. I once heard a heresy defined as a truth that ignores its counter-truth. There's always a tension. So what do we do? Well, again, let's follow Luther's lead. We look to the cross. As we live this life feeling that we're living among the weeds, or sometimes we look in the mirror and realize we're the weeds. As we play this cosmic game of kerplunk, we look to the cross. And at the cross, we see a God who was crucified for us. The ultimate expression of self-giving sacrifice and unconditional love. That's how we proceed. We give of ourselves so that others may live more fully, and we love unconditionally, even our enemies. The gospel lesson today ends up in some pretty uncomfortable territory. Talks about the end times, the great judgment day, when the Son of Man will come and judge, separate the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the weeds, and it makes us shudder. What will that time be like? Will I be worthy to have the righteousness shine upon me? Difficult business. What do we do with that? Well, again, we trust. We believe. We give over to God. We remember, as Isaiah reminds us, God is the first and the last, and indeed is present in all things between. God is with us in the midst of the tension and the gray areas, in the midst of the field where there are wheat and weeds. I try not to do too much with apocalyptic language. Like many of you, I'm guessing, it makes me a little uncomfortable. I don't know what the end times are going to be like. But I'll leave you with a quote I heard years ago from a movie. What was it called? The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Did anybody see this? It's about a dilapidated hotel where the young caretaker is eager to make the best of it, trying to get his guests to buy into his vision, his dream of an exotic hotel. And as he rushes around solving one problem after another, he's confronted with pessimism, the lack of hope for what things can be. And he says this wonderful line, "Everything will be okay in the end." If things are not okay, it's not the end. I think that's a wonderful summation for us to think about when we think of these end times and when we think about even the now. Things are not okay. We know this. But it's not the end. The kingdom of God has come in the midst of the world and is growing according to God's gracious plan. Our hope, our belief, our trust states that one day the kingdom will be here in its fullness. All will be as God imagined, as God hoped for, since before the creation of the world. Whatever the end times look like, we have faith that it's going to be okay. And when it's okay, that'll be the end. And all will be as God intends. Amen.